The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his God, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Ugly, fat, stupid, slow, poor, selfish, too old, too young, useless. We all have words that we've heard over the years from someone or maybe many someones that describe something about us that they don't like. Or in actuality, they're words that are meant to hurt us, to wound us, and to make us feel terrible about ourselves. Sometimes these words come with just one or two syllables, like the ones I mentioned, and sometimes they're whole sentences. Like, you're a really great daughter-in-law, but I really wish you had given me grandchildren. Or, you look so much better when you're thin. Or, you're not as dumb as you look. These are real sentences I've heard said to people I care about. Words have meaning and they cause harm. What's that childish rhyme that many of us learned on the playground, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yeah, I disagree. I would rather feel someone punch, slap, or kick me than hear the words that are poison shooting out of their mouths. We were not spanked as children growing up in my household, and my brother and I would beg my mom, please just hit us, rather than hear her say the terrible sentence, I'm disappointed in you. We would beg her to hit us rather than make that statement. Now, fortunately, we have learned that words do have a greater impact on people than what we've given them credit for over the years or what this little kind of nursery rhyme says. These words or phrases dig into our bodies, worming their way into our brain cells, and then they become this recording of what we come to believe about ourselves when we look in the mirror. We consume the words of others, whether we want to or not, often swallowing them whole without even a pause to chew on them or to spit them out even, internalizing them as this message that we are in fact the words that are being thrown at us. Jeremiah said, your words were found, and I ate them. Your words were found, and I ate them. The prophet Jeremiah describes what we do with words as human beings. We find them, and we eat them, much like a dog finds scraps under a child's high chair after a meal. Except Jeremiah is describing the words of God and what he experienced when he devoured God's words. He says, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. Jeremiah is talking to God and saying, I found your words and I ate them. It was like a warm roll fresh from the oven with a slab of really good butter on it, just kind of melting down into those little crevices on that bread. Oh, your words tasted so good, God. Food is one of the most basic ways in which we show and receive love. It's required for us human beings to survive. So it's an easy way of bringing care to someone in need. When there's been a death in the family or a new baby born, when someone is ill or recovering from surgery, very few of us run to Home Depot to bring them 2x4s or to Trustworthy to bring them fishing lures. But we fire up our ovens, we heat up the skillets, and we begin concocting something that will bring warmth and sustenance to someone we care about. But as I read that Jeremiah found God's words and ate them up, it made me wonder, what of God's words have you eaten up? What are the words and phrases that you find delicious? What are the words and phrases that when you hear them or say them or read them, feel that bit of warmth in your belly? Do you have those words or phrases? Call them out.
I am with you always.
I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you.
I love you no matter what.
I love you no matter what.
Through God, all things are possible.
You are enough.
You are enough.
There but for God go I.
There but for God go I.
Love one another. One of my favorites is, be still and know that I am God.
Peace be with you. Beloved, Jesus wept. Those are some of my favorites.
When I came to see Wind in the Willows the other night, I noticed a friend holding her little boy over here, and he pointed to each one of our little banners hanging. And he's like, what does that one say? And she'd say the word. So hope, love, peace, faith, and joy. And he'd ask her each one, and she'd say them out loud. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can remind me who I am and whose I am. Jeremiah says, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. For I am called by your name, O God. For we are called by God's name in words like beloved, peace, love, hope. And when the words of the world, words that cut us to the core and wound us deeply, seem to take over, we can find our way back to our Lord God of hosts, whose words can be found as clear and plain as banners hanging in a church sanctuary, or more discreet sometimes, more hidden, more to be heard or proclaimed through songs, through prayers, through the beauty of creation and the changing of the season, through fresh-baked bread and cups of homemade soup, and steadfastness of life itself continue to make its way in spite of the world seeking to destroy it. And one place that I also find it is in food. Now, it's no secret that I love food and I love to share food, right? The kids know that there is a candy dish in my office that they visit regularly. There are certain adults that when they come to meetings know that there are granola bars in my office because they never remember to eat dinner before they come to meetings. And I won't say their names, Brad Nyquist, but but I do have granola bars in my office. If anybody ever comes to church and they're hungry, there are granola bars there. Yeah, I love to feed people. I love to bring soup to somebody when they've had a new baby or when someone's had a bad day. I love to just bring them a special treat. But I find that it's in the holy meal. It's the time when we get to gather with people across time and space, and we share in this meal where Jesus says, do this and remember me. Eat this and remember me. Drink this and remember me. To take bread into my hands and drink from the vine into my mouth, being reminded that no matter what words we have heard from the world, the word from God is beloved. God says, I am with you to save you and deliver you. And we gather in community and we hear these words, we get to eat them up like a piece of warm bread with honey, or butternut squash soup, or blackberry pie smothered in ice cream. We are invited to the banquet table to eat them up, physically and spiritually, for our bellies to be fed and our spirits to be renewed, in the reminder that God of all calls us beloved before we ever encounter another voice in the world that says anything else. And when the words of the world become overwhelming, we can come back to this table, to the feast, to eat the words, to delight in the joy, and to hear the reminder of love for each one of us. This meal is a place that we can come back to time and time again, no matter whether it's here at this particular building of Christ Lutheran or a congregation we grew up in or any table that we've ever been around. The reminder that our God meets us at the table, feeds our bellies, and feeds our souls is the one that I need to hear over and over again. When life feels overwhelming and the words of the world take control, we can find our way to the table to be fed, to be known, to be loved. Your words were found, O God, and we get to eat them gathered in community and surrounded in your love. Thanks be to God. Amen.